This was a busy week this week. Work was kind of hectic, and then Lisa was working a couple of days this week, and Braden had stuff going on, and even though he's driving himself a little bit more, well, a lot more, we still had to go to school for a few things, and so Thursday night rolled around. I didn't feel like cooking. We kind of have a little role reversal in our house sometimes. I didn't feel like cooking. Lisa was tired and wanted me and Braden out of the house for a little bit, so she made a to-go order through us, and we went and got something to eat. There were two couples sitting there at the restaurant we went to, two older couples, and I noticed one husband and wife. He was very attentive to her, and I could just tell she just looked a little like she got confused easy at times. And he was helping her with her food when it came out, and she got choked up kind of easy. And I was thinking, this woman's probably in the intermediate signs of dementia. The swallowing, that's one of the things, the glances. And he went to help her get up out of the booth when they were finished. It was a very slow process. She could bear it. She could not move well. And I asked him if he needed a hand, and he said, no, but thank you. I appreciate it. And you could tell they'd done this dance many times. And I looked around, and I think everybody in that little restaurant was looking too. She was just dressed nicely. You could tell she was taken care of. Hair was done to a T. And I was just amazed. You know, you find love in the simplest of ways. And sometimes the simplest of ways are the most powerful expressions of love. And it was just like there was just a moment, and I realized that was what I was supposed to speak about this week. It was really one of the few illustrations I've seen outside of my own house, because my television survived yet another week without me throwing it out the window for some of the news that's in there. And just not just that husband's actions, but the way people responded to in that restaurant. They all stopped what they were doing and looked at this older gentleman. And I think that we're hardwired for love, to give it and receive it. But this world that we live in, sometimes we forget how to love. Sometimes we're not giving good examples of it. The power and how it feels. This is a world of thorns, and it's made to shred and tear us. To combat that, we build up calluses and thick skins, and we don't show it. We don't show our love. In some ways, it's justified. I think we've all been there where we've been burned, when we have. We become jaded, and we diminish the impact that love can have on our lives and the lives of others. God places a lot of value on love. It's mentioned over 310 times in the Bible, starting with Genesis. In Matthew, Jesus was asked, and it was a trap by the Pharisees, but he was asked, what are the greatest commandments? And he summed up the Ten Commandments in two commands. Love God, love each other. And the Ten Commandments split up. There are five commandments about your relationship with God. There are five about our relationship with each other. And I was looking through the scripture, and I was trying to find one that it really applied. And it popped in my head after they left. Love is patient and love is kind. I had seen this section before when I was researching wedding notes. I think it says a lot about godly love. Paul wrote this in his letter to the Corinthians, his first one. Corinth was a city in Greece, And grease gets kind of, it starts off thick and it gets kind of skinny. And there are all these little points that they call them little isthmuses. And they're little strips of land. Corinth sat on one. And it was right at a strategic spot where it acted like a valve between Asia and Europe. So it was a rich, rich city. It had been destroyed in the days of Alexander the Great, but rebuilt. Population, anywhere from 100,000 to where it could swell to 500,000. That's a lot for a city 2,000 years ago. Paul started this church there roughly about 50 years after Christ died. And you had Greeks, Romans, you had folks from the Middle East, you even had folks from the Far East, and they were all there. And they were clashing. Because each one that joined that church, they had their own set as far as who leaders were and how they wanted to do it. And it got a little rough in there. You know, Paul had a lot of good writing from Corinthians, but I never realized just how it was when he started writing those, that he actually wrote two sets of letters they know about. He went there multiple times, and it was all some of the best things that Paul wrote came from these letters, but they were because this church was in so much of they were in rough shape. And he was just, this chapter, he was just trying to get back to love. No matter where you come from, basic love. And he starts it off with just an amazing, to me, and I think most of us know these verses. We've heard them we've heard parts of them at weddings. If I had the tongue, if I could speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. I've heard a lot of people speak in my life. I've heard some excellent speakers. I've had a chance to hear Henry Kissinger in person. I've had a chance to hear journalists that have reported for 30, 40 years. I've had a chance to see evangelists in person. I've had a chance to see some really, really good people. But if they don't have love with them, and I noticed this after reading this, that their speech was razor sharp and usually pointed at someone unless they had love to it. And I've seen people who can connect with little or no effort. When you work with salespeople, now I couldn't sell you ice water in the Sahara. I couldn't. But I know people that could literally sell you anything. They are very good at what they do, and they can connect, and they can open up channels. But why are they doing it? What are they using it for? Paul, I think, was trying to say with this was that these are spiritual gifts, but if they're not using it in the right way, they can it goes wrong. What are they trying to do? Are they trying to open up broken hearts? Are they trying to reach the unreachable? Or are they trying to get them to open up their wallets and their checking accounts? And unfortunately, there are folks out there that claim to be from God. And I think one day he's going to look at them. He's going to say, who are you? You didn't do this in my name. I didn't ask that you have three houses, the least of which is like 6,000 square foot. I didn't ask that you had the $100,000 car. I didn't ask that. I didn't ask that you told somebody, that you made somebody feel so guilty they wouldn't buy their insulin to send you money. I didn't ask that. And I think Paul was trying to get across that you can have the spiritual gifts, but without the love of God in your heart and the love for others, it's incomplete. Some of the greatest speakers in history had horrible personal lives because they wouldn't use their spiritual gifts for those closest to them. Going to come up here in a week or so, 1 year anniversary of me being installed here as pastor. One, Dr. Eastup, who was the district superintendent at that time, came up. And one of the things he said, I'll never forget, he said a pastor's ministry needs to start at home. And I'm perfect by no means. List, front, back, multiple pages, areas for improvement. But you start at home. And you got to start with some love. Sometimes with a teenager, that's not too easy, but we'll get on to that point later. But you got to have love with what you do. If not, these spiritual gifts, they're not used as they're meant to be used. Love of God and others can give a voice a perfect pitch to open ears and hearts. But with that same voice without love can be like nails going down the chalkboard. If you have the gift of prophecies and know all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and you have faith where you can move a mountain, but you have no love, you're nothing. Read a statistic, 90% of the scientists that ever lived from the beginning of time to right now live right now. We can predict with a high degree of success if you'll have cancer in your lifetime. You can create targeted cures for diseases. What are these companies doing with it that control all that knowledge? They're making obscene amounts of money. There are insurance companies out there that are issuing denials that might as well be death penalties. Companies like Blue Cross Blue Shield years ago was setting liquid cash, money in the bank, I think $138 billion. Issuing denials. I read about a young man whose insulin got so outrageous. He literally died, diabetic coma in about 3 days before his mother could get paid to get that next month's insulin. There are people out here being denied cancer treatments because somewhere in the rule book somebody says, well, that's just not feasible or it's not practical. Doctors are discharging patients from the hospital not because they're well enough to leave, because the insurance company says that they're supposed to go. I was getting my hair cut earlier in the week, and been to the same lady for years. Lady that she works with, her husband's down in Charleston right now because he was discharged from a local hospital. I'm not going to name it. Yellow as a squash. Two broke bones in his back. They discharged him because he couldn't do physical therapy because some idiot prescribed physical therapy to this man with two broke bones in his back without having his pain up under control. But don't worry, they gave him a pardon gift. 3 blood clots. He almost died. He's down in Charleston right now. It was laid on my heart as that lady came by. I asked the lady that cut my hair to stop cutting, and me and her, we all three prayed. Right then and there. But that is knowledge without love. My sister-in-law has investigated the effects of dental health on your heart and your body for years. Now, the insurance company around will pay for the service, but there's a direct link between your dental health and the health of your heart. Insurance companies won't pay for that. She has a passion for making it, for trying to get that out to people and help them know, and probably could save hundreds of admissions by getting that out. But no one wants to hear that. There are agriculture companies right now, Monsanto being one of them, who just joined up with Bayer, so they make one of the largest conglomerates in the world. They will sue you if they find you using heirloom seeds. They will sue you. The seeds they want you to buy are sterile. They have 1 year. And if you cannot use the seeds out of them to make another year's crop. The Nestle Food Company, their CEO, I heard in an interview that he said drinking water is not a right. They are literally in courts right now trying to corner the water rights for multiple countries, including this one. But you don't hear about that. That's knowledge and power and faith because I know they're going to be able to do it without love. Just some examples. Greed and power are the motivating factors for a lot of the signs today. If you look at all the prophets and disciples in the Bible, and they had prophecy, they had faith. From the roughest one to the most tender one, they all had one thing in common, a common thread. They had the love of God and the love for others that went through. If it was an appeal to straighten up, a warning, whatever it was, there was, in some form, if you pull back the layers, there was love in there out of all of them. In our society today, we don't have, faith is hard to come by. You know what's so sad? Even the demons mentioned in the New Testament have faith. They knew exactly who Jesus was. I was reading something last night that just made my head scratch. Made me scratch my head. There were this well-educated person that he had written a book about how everything's evolution and all this stuff, and how since there were drawings of Adam and Eve with a belly button, and obviously somebody had to give birth to them, they're drawings. Nobody was there. They didn't have a camera. It was from the renderings of men. But he was using it, and what makes it sad, there's going to be somebody out there that's going to listen to him. There's no love. There's hate in their assaults. And when all of this knowledge and these other spiritual gifts are misused, that's not good. There are people out there that give a lot of money to the poor, to their favorite charity. People did this in Paul's time too. Some of them did it because they were touched in their heart. Just like today, there are people that are touched in their heart and they want to give what they can give to help. There are some people that want to be seen, like in Paul's time. Sometimes there are people that die for their God. There have been Christians that have been sacrificed. They've given their lives. North Korean prison camps, ISIS, crucified in modern day, beheaded. There are also twisted individuals who have a almost like a dark mirror version of their God. Suicide bombers and attackers have killed people from Europe, India, Asia, Middle East. I think here in this country, even though the media have denied it. And they have killed innocent people and have innocent blood in their hands because their only crime was being at the wrong place at the wrong time. Paul was saying that the action isn't as important as the motivation. And love is patient, and love is kind, and it's not jealous. How many people heard that verse at a wedding? I have. I've heard it a lot. How many couples have tossed that away right after the wedding? Love can be, it's not easy. A lot of people get up and they talk a lot about it, but true love between people, it's not an easy thing. Love is faithfulness to God and faithfulness to each other in relationships. And genuine love, it don't bolt when things get tough. And it can actually improve with time during the tough times. Those who genuinely love God, difficult times are an opportunity to grow. You may not realize it while you're going through it. A lot of us don't. But looking back, you see how much you've grown in that relationship. Dolly Parton, I don't quote her a whole lot, but she's a pretty smart lady. She said that storms make trees get deeper roots. And that's a real pretty way, to me, that's a pretty way of kind of summarizing that. And love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. And does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Sometimes love and lust can get mixed up. When you're acting in love, true godly love for one another, you might do the wrong thing, but it's unintentional. It's not that you're sitting out to hurt somebody. When you're acting out of selfishness or lust, though, it's not a question if things are going to go bad. Eventually they are. It's just when and how bad they're going to go. We need to remember people we love aren't perfect. We're not either. People who experience love for each other, they're going to hurt each other sometimes. We're imperfect. Now, a note on this, though, there's a difference between unintentional wrong and emotional or physical abuse. When Paul wrote, does not take into account a wrong suffered, he was not talking about anybody beating up on someone just because they are weaker in physical stature or somebody feels like it. Nobody should put up with that. When he was talking about rejoicing in the truth, he was talking about the truth of Jesus and his sacrifice and his love for us all. And we bear all things and believe all things and hope all things and endure all things. That husband in the restaurant popped in my head. They had probably been married so many years, 30, 40, raised kids together. I imagine he helps his wife to dress. He helps his wife probably with all her basic activities. My guess is he drives her to the beauty parlor. And he does all those things to help her feel special. And it's extra work for him. It's got to be. But that's love. That is just an example of true love. He's bearing with her. And he's enduring her with love. And when one spouse cares for another one like that, that's godly love. And we don't see it a whole lot these days. And I thought about our church. When I see this, we've celebrated with each other. We've cried with each other. The little things that happen, like when we came in this morning, Sharon had already been here, turned on the coffee after she had made it yesterday. There are others that do things here during the week that you may not even realize. From the board to individuals. And if somebody's hurting, there's a text going out and a request for prayer. There's something. If somebody has a need, a lot of times it's just done. Like, I don't know if y'all noticed that out there in the back, it's the weeds and all died down. Greg Wilson came over, sprayed them down. Little things like that, but they're examples of love. Why are you doing it? It's out of love. It's not to be seen. It's not to be known. There's a lot of things that take place here that folks never really realize about, but they get done. And to me, those little things, kind of like that husband helping that wife up, they're examples of true godly love. And I just hope that this just grows. No matter what the building, no matter who's the pastor, no matter who's here, I hope that same love just keeps right on growing through the generations. That if we get bigger, that's great, but I hope the heart never changes. And love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. And if there's knowledge, it'll be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. Prophecy and communication and knowledge are spiritual gifts. They're from God, but they're tools. And think about if you want to build a house. Love would be like the blueprint, and the spiritual gifts would be the tools that you would use. Without the direction guiding those tools, they can be misused, and eventually they will go away. When you realize the love of God and true love for others, that's when it becomes complete. And that's what Paul's talking about when he's talking about the perfect love of God. Because perfect's not something you throw around a lot. And I don't throw it around lightly. But I think what he's trying to get across is the tools, the gifts, they're just part of the picture. But the love that motivates them, that's the thing. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. And when I was a man, I did away with childish things. Paul is using this comparison to compare our growth to our growth as a Christian. When we first start off and we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're like children. And God, Jesus even used that analogy of being born again and children. And when we were kids, we spoke like kids. And since Braden's not here, he won't mind me giving a little story about him. When he was little, in the first grade, and I don't know who got him started with this, everybody was a meanie. Everybody was a meanie if he did not get his way. Well, mother had had a long afternoon of being called a meanie. And he called her one. She said, "Yes, I am. Don't you ever forget. I won't never, ever, ever forget it." Thankfully, he doesn't call us a meanie too much anymore. His speech changed as he got older and he's matured. And as we grow in our journey as a Christian, we learn and mature through prayer and word. There are other Braden stories, and don't worry, they'll eventually get worked in. I'll try and wait till he comes in one time. And so if you're listening to this later, you know evil stepdad loves you. For now, we see it in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully just as I have also have been fully known. Paul uses another verbal image here. Imagine going into the bathroom in the middle of the night. You look in the mirror and you make out an outline. Over time, the image becomes clear. It's the same way when we first get that look at our spiritual self, and it's not clear. But over time, if we keep with the prayer, we keep studying God's word, and we notice what's going on in our lives, the image becomes clear. And if you keep on your path of loving God and loving others, now, there are going to be some people, even Paul said this in Romans, that you're not going to be able to get along with. Romans 12, Paul said, as far as you're able, live peaceably with others. There are some that they got to get their stuff straightened out, and they got to want to be loved. And that's hard, because sometimes people can go through a whole lifetime of being told, nobody loves you. Nobody, you're not capable of being loved. They have to meet you. It's a mutual, when you love someone, it's a mutual sacrifice. Like a husband and wife or a couple, there's some compromising going on with that. If you don't have that sacrifice and that mutual compromise, you're going to end up having somebody that's very angry. When one person gives all and one person takes all, that's not good. Because eventually that person that gives all is going to get tired of giving. And that's when relationships can end. With true love, there's give and take. There's very much give and take. Sometimes it takes a little while to figure it out. First time, Lisa and I, we don't do home improvement together. And there's a good reason for that. My house, when we were dating, she wanted to repaint some rooms in my house. I was fine with it being just like it was, but she was right. It needed it. And we were going to paint one of these bedrooms together. Well, that lasted about 2 hours. Then I was sent to the kitchen to work on dinner. And I just came in for spots over 7 foot tall. And that was just, but there's compromise. Like where you see me and I have these words I get from the Holy Spirit, the music you have, it comes from her. She has an ear for it. I don't. As far as arrangements and things like that. At our house, we just kind of pick up for each other. I know other couples out there, they do the same thing, and you understand what I'm talking about. There's a compromise, and there's mutual sacrifice on both parts, and you have to have that. And that's something that comes along with time, that you understand that. And this last verse has been in song, it's been in weddings. And have you ever thought about it like this? If you didn't have love, could you have faith and hope? Really? Could you really have it? And even if you have faith and hope, what good are they without a love? When you think about what is one of your top goals in this life, is love somewhere around it? The money goes away. The power goes away. The looks go away. We all get older. We all get a little more fragile. They're cooking up my first set of bifocals right now. And we get older. What's left? If you don't have that sense of love from someone and that love of God, what is left? If you had to think about one defining characteristic of Jesus, what would it be? Look at his life. Look at all of his stories. Look at all of his parables, all of his accounts. One defining characteristic of Jesus, love. He had love for people that nobody else in the establishment at that time had love for, but he saw something in them. He saw what was really inside them. And he actually saw what was really inside the people that were putting these people down. He saw the upper crust, and he saw what was in their heart, and it was dark. But for these sinners, that woman at the well, he saw something in her. And he had a love for them. I'm glad he has a love for us. None of us deserve it. I'm right up here. I'll be first to tell you, I don't. I don't deserve his love. I don't deserve his grace. But thankfully, he gives both. And as a Christian, our goal is to be more like Jesus. We ain't never going to get there. We ain't never going to get there. But in our attempts, we will get closer to him. We know that we're striving for a goal that we will never get, but we're going to try and get closer. Just like somebody practicing football, baseball, what have you, you know you're never going to be perfect at it, but you try and get better and better at it. Best way to be more like Jesus, have godly love in your heart and share it. There are people in your surroundings that can use it. I am very sensitive to the Feed the Children. Our former Pastor Allen, he works for Feed the Children. There are all kinds of overseas organizations out there for children. We got folks that we know in our lives that need a love. They need an ear. And by love, just like the acts that we have here in this church, simple things can go a long way. Just listening. Or here's a cup of coffee. You never know the power of your words on someone else. Because we are all fighting battles. You hear me say it a lot, but we are. Everyone in here right now has probably got something on their mind that they need to take care of, small, large, or we know someone that is in a world of hurt. And we don't know how to reach them. We just keep on loving them. That's one thing that I heard from a very wise lady when I first got into ministry. You just keep on loving your people. That's what you do. There are going to be some people that it's going to be hard to. And love does not mean being taken advantage of. But you love them, in a way that you preserve yourself as well. Because sometimes love is saying no. Sometimes it is saying no. And that's hard. It's hard for parents. But we've had to say no. I'm glad we did. Mom and Dave had to say no to me, and I'm glad they did, because I would have been a little hoodlum if they hadn't. And didn't need any help in that department anyway, but it was, as I got older, I realized they loved me. That's why they said no. If they didn't care about me, they just would have turned me out and whatever. But they loved me. And sometimes when you have love for this other person, it may be telling them no. But you're not telling them no because of a bother. You're telling them no because you love them. We have a generation, multiple generations, that have never had to sacrifice. They've never had to compromise. What do you think the divorce rate's going to be in 10 years? If you have a kid in their 20s that has never had to sacrifice anything, then they get into a relationship with someone. I love my wife so much, but you know yourself, as a married couple or a long-term couple, there's give and take. There has to be a mutual sacrifice in there and compromise. But we have entire generations that are raised up. Sacrifice ain't in their vocabulary. And those are folks that they need to hear no sometimes. And I'll be the first to admit, me and Lisa have not mastered that art with Braden by a long shot. He's a good kid, but we don't say no near as much as we should. Most of us don't. But if somebody's trying to throw a guilt trip on you because you won't co-sign a loan with them, or you won't give them your car after they've wrecked 3 or 4 or whatever it is, it's okay to say no because you love them. And as we go to prayer, I want you to ask yourself, am I displaying godly love in my life to God, to those around me? Am I displaying my love, affection, and gratitude for God? And the answer isn't what you want it to be. It's okay. I thought about this as I was finishing up these notes. I have prayed for faith. I have prayed for healing. I have prayed for so many things. How many times have I prayed for love? To have love, to love others. It never really comes across my radar a whole lot. I have prayed for the courage, the words to say, and the courage to say them. And my intentions are love, but I have not prayed for the ability to love others. And I don't know if a lot of people have. I mean, really, honestly, if we think about it, how many times have we prayed for love to love others? And I hope y'all don't think any less of me. I pray for y'all every day. Everybody in this church and everybody that's not, and everyone on that prayer list. But I never prayed for the ability to love. I mean, I love y'all. But I've never prayed to have that love, strengthened. And I think there are a lot of us like that. And when I saw that man, and I've seen acts of affection many times through my life, but when I saw that man gently caring for his wife that another husband would have had in a nursing home, it made me think, that man, when he goes to meet God one day, is going to be told, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because he displayed his love, I know, in public and in private. That woman, you can tell when somebody's taken care of. Not when they're just polished up and took outside. That man loved her and he displayed that love. And it made me think about how rare that actually is. So now, I'm going to get y'all to stand with me, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then the altars be open. And I want us to ask God to help us develop and direct that love for his plans, and to use that love as a blueprint for what he wants us to do with the gifts he's given us. We all have a spiritual gift, or more. But without the love behind it, it's kind of like sawing a board without taking a measurement. There's a good chance it ain't going to be what you're looking for. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, please ask you to strengthen our love for you, our love for others. Father, we ask for wisdom to direct that love and guidance. And Father, we ask for the courage to be able to say no when it is part of your plan that even though we love someone so much, saying yes would hurt them in the long run. Give us the courage to say no. Father, help us to use these gifts that you have given us and the love that you have in our hearts for the ways that we're supposed to use them, Father. Father, this world is full of thorns, and it shreds us, and it makes us calloused and jaded. And we're shown on the television every day that love is physical lust. No, true love lasts long after the body starts changing. Love for another is a very special thing, and love for you is a special thing. And help us to understand, Father, what we're supposed to do, and fill us with that. And Father, we know that not everybody, we won't be able to reach everybody. Father, if we can reach one person in our lives that desperately needs that love, and that love will change them, will open their hearts to you. Father, if one person can just reach one more, just think of a better world it will be. When we hear the news and we hear how things are just getting worse and all this jadedness and all this anger and hatred, that's not you talking. That is the enemy in this world. Someone cannot help everyone, but everyone can help someone. And Father, help us to strengthen our love. And through it, our faith and our hope will be strengthened. And Father, we'll make the proper use of these spiritual gifts that we can help that one person in our lives and make this world a better place. And have one more person, when they are at your door, at your gate, being told, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The altars are open.